Thank you so much. Thank you, Lord. Everybody say the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Everybody say it one more time. The guidance of the Holy Spirit. All right. So one of the major ministries and purposes of the of the Holy Spirit in and on your life is to guide you. Now, this guidance is not from someone who doesn't know anything, but this guidance, divine guidance, is from someone who knows everything about anything. He's an expert in knowledge. He's an expert in procedure and protocol of the things of the Spirit. He's an expert in persuasive speaking ability. The Holy Spirit is an expert tour guide. He already knows the end from the beginning. He already knows the most advantageous route that you must take, the most eternal moves that you must make every day. The Holy Spirit is an expert guide. Amen. John chapter 16, verse 15 says it this way, verse 13 through 15, in the New Living Translation. When the Spirit of truth comes, he, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. This is Jesus describing the Holy Spirit in this point. And all that belongs to the Father is mine. That's why I said the Spirit will tell you whatever he receives from me. Now, in the New King James, it says it this way. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it unto you. Now, that last verse, sometimes we need a little help understanding what the full import of that is. And in verse 15, he says he'll take of mine. So, in other words, you want to think of it this way. The Holy Spirit will take the things of Christ, and he will translate them and transfer them to you for your personal victory. Because you're in Christ. And so he will take what belongs to Jesus and translate them to you and transfer them to you for your own personal victory. Man, that's enough to comb your hair and come to church today. Yeah. Praise God. So he'll take whatever Jesus was victorious in, what Jesus has as an inheritance of, what Jesus possesses in his nature and his character, and he will translate that and transfer it to you for your personal victory. Somebody say, glory to God. Hallelujah. That's good, isn't it? Amen. So the Greek word for guide is hodego, and it means to show the way or lead and guide. A tour guide, a one who leads you on an expedition. Your life is basically an expedition. The Holy Spirit knows when your expiration time is. So he knows how much times, how many days, minutes, and hours you have left. And so he'll help manage and coach your life and guide you in life so that you make the use of your best use, the most use with every amount of time in your life. So you're not wasting time. You're not squandering time. You're redeeming time. Because you're on assignment. You're on an expedition for the Lord. Amen. And see, the Holy Spirit guides us in two things. Everybody say, number one, truth. 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 Truth is in the Bible, the Word of God. Truth is in the Bible, the Word of God. And then number two, things. Things. Things are outside the Bible. What is truth? John 17, 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. See, the Word of God is the truth of God. So the Holy Spirit will guide you through and to the Word of God. Everybody should be so familiar and so repetitively learned in this fact that the Holy Spirit always takes you to the Word. What does the Word say? What does the Word say about this problem? What does the Word say about this situation? What does the Word say? So he guides you into all truth. He takes you to the Word. Why? Because your faith is your victory. And the faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the Word of God. So you need to hear the Word. You need to see the Word. You need to take in the Word and receive it into your heart and life for your personal situation. You know, sometimes we offend or vex the Holy Spirit when we call everybody else instead of calling on the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wrote, inspired the whole Bible. He moved on 40 or so authors to write the Holy Scripture. He knows every verse in every book, every chapter. Holy Spirit, help me find my answer in the Word. Whew, the guide comes. And he's ready to guide you into all truth. And the truth makes you free from the bondage of the enemy. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Ephesians 4:21. If you indeed have heard of him, that all truth, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. That's New King James. Amplify says that I like this. It says, assuming that you really heard him and begin and been taught by him, as all truth is in Jesus, embodied and personified in him. Now, that also explains verse 15 of chapter 16 that we read, that he will take the things of Christ and show it, the Spirit will tell you whatever he receives from me. So he will take those things which belong to Jesus and show it to you. Well, why? Because Jesus is the truth. All truth is embodied in Jesus. John 14:6 says, Jesus said unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but through me. Now, I was in college, a young college student. I just gotten saved, born again, and, you know, a lot of religions reside on college campuses. And people always trying to find truth, or trying to find God, or trying to find a version of the truth. But see, God is true and everything else is a lie. Romans 3 says that. Let God be true and every man and every other thing, every man-made thing a lie. Well, he wrapped up, tied up, and tangled up truth in the embodiment of Jesus. So all truth is in Jesus. So guess what? When Jesus said, I am the way, that means if you follow Jesus fully, you will never get lost. Amen. You'll never be lost. He said, I am the truth. That means if you center all truth in Jesus, that means you'll never be deceived. And he said, I am the life. That means if you follow Jesus fully, then you'll never die. Death will not be a termination of your existence on earth. Death will be a transition from this life to the next life in heaven. Praise God. Somebody say glory to God. So he said, I'm not a truth, I'm the truth. Now, most false religions and bad doctrine takes Jesus out of the center of truth. But the Holy Spirit will always take what is Christ and in the embodiment in Christ Jesus, and he will show you this is what Jesus will do. This is what Jesus did. Come on now, Jesus. This is what Jesus said. This is what Jesus, this is how Jesus lived. This is how Jesus walked. This is how Jesus talked. Come on now. All truth is in Jesus. When you get away from Jesus, you're going to get away from truth. When you get outside the word and you omit and neglect the word, you're going to get away from truth. Amen. Jesus prayed again, like I said, in John 17, 7, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. Amen. See, the bottom line, the word of God is truth, and the living word, Jesus our Lord, is the embodiment of the truth, and the Holy Spirit is the spirit of truth. We read that earlier, John 16, 13, when the spirit of truth, Jesus kept hammering that in. He just didn't call him Holy Spirit. He said the spirit of truth. He was given a profound description of the person of the Holy Spirit. He said, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of truth. He was hammering his disciples, saying, the Spirit of truth. He's going to guide you into all truth. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In other words, you can trust the Holy Spirit to guide you and lead you into all truth and not lead us into lies and falsities and deceptions and misinformation. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of truth. Y'all know we're in an information and a disinformation age at the same time. There's so much stuff, people try to replace God with Google. I thank God for what Google does, but Google's not God. You can't discover truth through Google. Just like that, you remember that State Farm commercial when that lady was telling that man, it was on the internet. And the guy was saying, you believe everything on the internet? But some people got so much FaceTime in the internet, on social media. And that's not the Holy Spirit guiding you to live in lies and falsities and deceptions and conspiracy theories and junk. And drama. The Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. You need to be living by the word. You need to be speaking the word. You need to be walking in light of the word. How are you going to practice this word? When are we going to put this word into practice? Somebody say, what does the word say? Do you know what the word says? You got this coming up. This confrontation of financial challenges coming up. What does the word say? Do you know what the word? What word are you going to stand on? Help me, Holy Spirit. Are you listening to me? Somebody say hallelujah. Now see, things, what are things? Things, he said, of God in all truth, he'll show you things to come. Everybody say things. So things are specific of anything and everything or all things that are not necessarily spelled out or detailed in the word of God. What's a thing? Well, my wife was a PYT. We called her PYT back in the day. We called them pretty young thing. Yeah, she still is, but you know, and you got on a college campus, you got 15 or 16 girls to a guy, so you kind of a hot commodity, no matter how you looked. And so sometimes there's many offerings. But then you got to ask the Holy Spirit, guide me to the one that's going to be a good wife. And he only had one direction, her. And he was right. Amen. See, if you follow the Holy Spirit, you get it right. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Who do I hang around? What job do I get? Do I take this opportunity? You know, I got probably 7 opportunities thrown my way. And I have to ask Holy Spirit, do I look into this? Do I pay attention to this? Or do I put this down? See, some people are confused and complex, but you're listening to the author of complexity And God is not the author of confusion. I'm talking to somebody in this room, online. He's not the author of confusion. At what it is disorder. He's trying to disarrange your destiny. But the Holy Spirit knows the exact steps you need to take, the exact and precise moves you need to make, the decisions you need to do to make about your life, about your family, about your finances. Follow the Holy Spirit. Somebody say, follow the Holy Spirit. So he'll show you things. Because see, there's not things in the Bible about who should I date. Who should I hook up with? Who should I run around? Who should I marry? See, the Holy Spirit showed me my darling wife, my beautiful wife. But he also told me by praying in the Spirit and confirmed it. We'll miss a lot of mistakes and miss a lot of miseries and heartaches if we follow the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Because we think, well, it's not spelled out. No, the Holy Spirit is specific about everything in your life, all things. Even when you come to the offering, how much should I give? Don't you know Holy Spirit knows exactly how much you have in your bank account? There has been times, I will say this, where God says, I want you to give this much, but he knows you only got that much, but he expects to get the other much to you so that you can fulfill the much that he told you. I know that's a little confusing. That's the way I said it. You understand what I'm saying? Because sometimes God will tell you, give you an assignment. He says, I want you to give $1,000 this month. Well, I ain't got $1,000. Well, he'll get it to you if you're willing and obedient, and he'll get it through you. Somebody say, praise the Lord. You got to listen to the Holy Spirit. You can't just do everything out of your mind because you're limited and you'll lack. Hallelujah. But if you be led by the Holy Spirit, he'll help you deal with the slack. Hallelujah. In Romans 8, the Bible says the Holy Spirit is, the Bible mentions the Holy Spirit 22 times. So therefore, the Holy Spirit is the subject of that chapter. The phrase, all things, is mentioned 3 times. Romans 8:28. And we know all things work together for good to those that love God and to those that are called according to his purpose. Everybody say all things. But who do they work for? They work together for the good for those who do what? Love God. And those who are called according to his purpose. Romans 8:31. What shall we say to these things? Huh? If God is for us, who can be against us? Who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all? How shall he not also with him freely give us all things? Now here's where the religious rub and religious traditional rub runs up against people's brains. They think about, maybe I didn't deserve it. Maybe I didn't earn enough credits for it. Well, you didn't deserve to go to heaven. But Jesus didn't give you what you deserved. That's why it's called unmerited favor, undeserved favor. He washed you. He loved you. He cleansed you from your sins. Come on now. He made you a new creation in Christ. Come on now. Gave you Christ's inheritance to share and be a joint heir with. Come on now. If he freely gave you Jesus, he'll freely give you anything and everything you need. Praise God. So you got to say that. What do you say to those things? When you come to the doctor's report and they got bad news to shuffle at you and say, here's your report, here's your diagnosis. You say, what do I say to that diagnosis? I say, if God be for me, who can be against me? This cannot be against me. Praise God. If he gave me Jesus, he'll freely give me anything and everything I need. What do you say when you look at your bank balance, your checkbook, your bank statement, however you look at it electronically, and it's negative? What do you say, sister? You say, what do I say to these things? If God be for me, who can be? This cannot be against me. I can't stay at a negative balance. I can't live life in the red. I'm going to live life in the black because he gave me Jesus. He'll freely give me anything and everything I need. Because he said, I'll freely give you all things. What does that mean? You don't have to buy it by your own strength and credit worthiness or cash. You don't have to beg for it. You don't have to bum for it. But see, that kicks up against sometimes religious tradition. You know, I got to beg God. I need a miracle. And they wish for a miracle. But in Romans 8:28, he said, all things work together, so you got to work a miracle. Okay, a miracle needs to be worked here. He freely gave me Jesus. He'll freely give me anything and everything I need. When it comes to sickness and disease, people say, well, I wonder if God wants me to be healed. Holy Spirit's down. He's down in your spirit going, they're about to vex me. They're about to grieve me because they're talking out of the side of their neck. And he says, I'm ready to guide you in all truth when you're ready. I'm ready to take you to the Word and show you 15 healing scriptures that you need to stand on and take like a medicine, praise God, because the Word will be life to you and medicine to all your flesh. Come on now. Hallelujah. Well, Pastor, I'm scared about the future. Well, he'll guide you in all truth. He'll take you to Psalms 91 and say, you need to spend time in Psalms 91. Or he'll take you to Isaiah 41:10. Fear not. Some people are afraid going to the doctor because they're afraid of the bad news. The Bible says that a righteous man will not fear evil tidings. Psalms 112. He said a righteous person will not fear evil tidings. But guess what the weapon has been through the media for the last 2+ years? F-E-A-R. They weaponized fear and said that you got to be afraid. Somebody's going to make you sick. You got to be afraid to touch anybody. You want to be afraid to bring people in your house that don't have your same genetics or family line. You can't be in here breathing up my air. People wanted to be socially distanced, but they end up being spiritually distanced from the Holy Spirit. And he's down there going, why don't you go to the Word? I'll help you. Why don't you let me direct your steps and give you guidance in this thing? Instead of reacting and responding like a chicken or a person with their head on fire, a chicken with his head cut off, that's what I meant to say. A chicken with his head cut off, or you ever seen a chicken with a head cut off? They ring this chicken, and I didn't want to see it again because my grandmother did it, and chicken, and then cut it off, and then the chicken running around with the head cut off, bleeding. That sounds so Christmas. The chicken with the head cut off, and then, of course, with the hair on fire. Blaming and complaining. And in some cases, they get deep. They get deep and intellectual. I want to explain what's going on in my life. So now they've gone from complaining to blaming to trying to explaining. Hallelujah. Write these three things down before I get to my next point here. Three words down before I forget. The Lord told me to share that with you. The guidance of the Holy Spirit. He does can be comprised in three different dimensions or words. I'm giving descriptive words. Number one is narrate. 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 He'll narrate the word. He'll explain the word. He'll show you how to pray. And then the next word is navigate. Narrate and then navigate. Sometimes the guidance is navigation. He's navigating you through, let me put it this way, the minefield of negative emotions. Because what we've seen today is an uptick and a rise in internet anger. People get mad and frustrated because of what people posted. I don't know why people get on fights. I mean, one NFL coach deleted his Twitter account because he was getting so much backlash for making one little comment. Some people can't handle Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, because they get upset about what other people are doing. So you don't need to, you need to be delving in that anger. You don't need to stay in that emotional minefield of social media. So cut it off. Suspend your account. Delete it. Because you don't know how to unfriend people. You still following them, and they still making you mad. Because they clapping back and talking back to everything you put out. I had my pastoral Cheerios this morning. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So you need the Holy Spirit to help you navigate. There's an emotional minefield called anger that's filled with anger, bombs, aughts, and anxieties. Some of us need to stop worrying and fretting so much. You've been fretful. Why are you worrying about stuff that you have an expert tour guide that will tell you everything that's going to happen based on the truth of the word and the truth that's in Jesus, and will show you that what's going to come and how you need to posture your belief and your mouth on what he has done, the Lord has done. He'll take you through every fiery trial. He'll hold your hand and navigate you so that you don't get burned. You don't get beat down. You don't get bitter. He navigates. So the Holy Spirit, in his guidance arena, will narrate truth, will navigate you in things in life so you can avoid the pitfalls and the perils, particularly in your own emotional realm. Because God, the devil knows that's where his hook is. The Bible says in James 1, a man is drawn away with his own lust and enticed to sin. That means he sets a trap. He baits the trap, so you take the bait. You're not supposed to be watching CNN, but you click on CNN, you watch it, and next thing you offend it. He told you to stay off Twitter. He told you to stay off Instagram. Stay off TikTok. He told you to stay off Facebook so much. But you did it anyway, and then he's trapped you. You got to let the Holy Spirit navigate you. Amen. Amen. You know, you need to go over there, but you don't need to stay long. Because they're going to convince you to spend your money, and they're going to take all your money. He'll navigate you in a business deal. Lord, is it good to invest here? To put my money on the line here? Amen. Investing is good, but you got to invest with God. You got to invest in the way of God. You can't invest in people that believe in killing babies. You can't invest in some ungodliness. You just cast your seed with the devil. Y'all here, y'all going home already. So the Holy Spirit guidance area is to narrate, to navigate, and last word is to necessitate. Necessitate. Everybody say necessitate. So he narrates, he navigates, and he necessitates. What does he necessitate? Webster's Dictionary says to make necessary, to require. There was one of our instructors, Pastor Keith Moore now, was into a hobby of hot rods. He had Corvettes, not Camaros, Corvettes and Mustangs. And so he liked those cars and get parts. So his next thing he knows, his garage is all filled up with car parts. And he's got a call of God on his life. And the Holy Spirit spoke to him while he's under the car, turning wrench, because that's what he loved to do. His flesh loved to do that. He was all into that stuff. Mechanical work, twisting things, building things with his hand, rebuilding engines and all that other stuff. Nothing wrong with that. But the Holy Spirit told him, out of necessity, you need to stop spending so much time on these cars. If you're going to finish the will of God and the call of God for your life, you need to put this down. So necessitate means to make necessary, to require. It means to force or compel. That means you need to do this or else. Now, when I was in Alexandria, Virginia, you know, I worked with the, my assignment was the U.S. Army branch, MI branch. I was a senior captain. I was getting ready to go before the promotion board to major, below zone major. And I made below zone, but I didn't pin on because the Holy Spirit necessitated. You need to do it now. I had an offer to go get a Ivy League master's degree program and teach at U.S. Military Academy at West Point. She knows it. It was a hard turn down because I worked for an 06 and then a one-star general. The one-star general went up to the superintendent at West Point and said, look at who he is. But the Holy Spirit said, you can be a general in this army, but I called you to be a general in my army. So he was necessitating me to turn off just like Moses had to do. He had to esteem the reproach of Christ as greater riches than the treasures to enjoy the pleasures of sin and the riches in Egypt. I enjoyed it. But the Holy Spirit says necessity. He said, I've called and appointed you for such a time as this, and I need you right now to be in my army and to get trained. That's the Holy Spirit saying, just do it. Then there's a condition to that, or else. Amen. Kenneth E. Hagin said after he pastored, because he wanted to stay pastor, the Lord had called him out. He was not satisfied, his last church, and he was not satisfied with, in his heart, he said, man, everything's going good, but I'm not happy. Well, he said he, 14 years, 12 years of pastoring, 14 years of doing a little traveling, a couple of years of traveling, 14 years altogether, he said he wasn't happy. He said, Lord, why am I not happy? Why am I not satisfied or at peace in my heart? He said, you've not entered into the first phase of what I've called and anointed you for. And he said, Lord, what have I been doing for 14 years? I've been seeing people saved. I've been witnessing, da-da-da-da. He said, most people live and die and never enter into the first phase of what. He said, you just now entered into the first phase. But he wanted to go back pastoring after 1 year because he said, I'm broke. I'm struggling. And the Lord told him, don't ever think about pastoring again. Don't even touch it in your thought life. Now, he did it twice. And he said, I understood when the Holy Spirit says, do this or else. And he knew what the for or else meant. It means tough times. Sometimes our hard times in life are self-inflicted because we haven't listened to the necessitation of the Holy Spirit. He told us to do it. And we're not doing it. So the one time when he was thinking back and feeling sad, he got so broke, he said, if you listen to his teaching on faith by saying, he said, I got so broke and had to drive at night because it was too hot to drive the car in the day because he was afraid his rubber tires were going to melt on the Texas highways. And he said one night he's in tears almost. They didn't have enough offering to go home. He was mad, and he said the four tires start preaching to him. What are you going to do now? What are you going to do now? Well, he asked the Lord. He said, well, you are obedient. You are going on the field like I called you, but you're not willing. That means he didn't want to do it. He wanted to go back to pastor. He had to make the adjustment before the provision and the peace came into his soul. Somebody say, glory to God. Hallelujah. And then, of course, the other time he said he was in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And he was at a church, and somebody called him from Garland, Texas, and said, "Hey, Brother Hagin, hey, we got a church opening. Nice church. He's been there. Really nice. Really liked the setup there." And then he said, "Man, why don't you think about coming and passing a church?" So that night he started thinking about it. Or that evening before, and he even took out a yellow tablet, you know, those yellow tablets, and started drawing about Sunday school, this and this. He's thinking about planning for the church. And then all of a sudden, he had pain. Now, he didn't get sick. He said, every time I got sick, I missed it somewhere. Sometimes we're not following the necessitation of the Holy Spirit, and it opens the door to sick. So he walked in the bathroom because the pain was right where his gallbladder or bladder was. And so he was urinating in the bathroom. Hope I said that okay with everybody. But blood was coming out. And he said it was excruciating pain. He was screaming, ah, ah, ah. And he said, the Holy Spirit says, told you not to touch it in your thought life. Pastoring. See, the Holy Spirit will necessitate you to stay in your lane and stay in your office. When you're appointed, you're anointed, either by a minister gift or pastor, in that case, an elder. And so you've been appointed, you're anointed. But some people aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing in that office, in that assignment of ministry, and they wonder why I can't get healed on this little thing. I can't get better. Well, the Holy Spirit's telling you, you better get better at my thing, then you'll get your healing on that thing. Hallelujah. That means the Holy Spirit forces him. And so when he told me to get out of the army, he said, just do it. You better do it. Because if I'd have just went my way, I'd have went and got my master's degree. They had Columbia University already accepted me. I was going to go up there and do my thing and retire as a general. You know, but I would have messed all that up. You wouldn't even see me. You wouldn't even be here. And I remember when some of y'all first came in here on triage or in trouble. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say, hallelujah. Y'all getting something out of this today? So you don't need to neglect the supernatural ministry of the Holy Spirit, because he leads you. He will guide you. Romans 8:14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And we said leading or guidance comes in those three descriptive areas. Everybody say it with me. Narrate. Navigate, necessitate. Say it with me one more time. Say narrate, navigate, and necessitate. Praise God. How does he do this? Through your spirit. So your spirit or your conscience must be your guide. In other words, simple as this, you look to the Lord where? On the inside. Wait a minute. You might even be having a conversation with your wife or your kids or your family, and you decide to do something, but if you don't wait and say, wait, let's let's ask. Let's see what the Holy Spirit's saying on inside. See, because he's God, and he never sleeps, nor does he slumber, and nor does he slack off in his job. He's always on and ready to guide you. So that's why parents, how many parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, come on, let's give it up for the great-grandparents, amen? They got a lot of people in their family. That's good. That's a blessing, right? But our responsibility is to wean them off us and wean them onto the Holy Ghost, to Holy Spirit. You know, kids like my grandson's age, and I'm looking at a couple other young kids. You need to. That's why we make it a point of emphasis with the children's ministry this month. That we're endeavoring to make sure everyone's well versed in being saved, born again, and what filled with the Holy Spirit. Because when they're a young age, listening to the Holy Spirit, following the guidance of the Holy Spirit, they miss a lot of landmines. They miss a lot of traps and troubles. Even on stuff like, do I share this candy with this person? Look to the Holy Spirit. Do I spend my money on that? Listen, something come across, maybe they're on social media already. You know, sometimes it's a little dangerous for kids to be on that. But they're on social media. Okay, should I be watching this? Where do they look? Look to the Holy Spirit on the inside. You know, sometimes Cynthia and I will observe him looking at, and he knows it because he's at a conscious state right now, age. He'll look up at me, or he'll look up at his oma, and knows he's not supposed to be looking at that on his iPad. And he said, okay. But what? Why? He needs to grow up not just weaned onto his parents and grandparents. He needs to be weaned on the Holy Spirit. So when he's at school, and y'all know what happened in Uvalde, y'all know what's been happening around this country. You could go in a store, and the Holy Spirit said, no. You don't need to be in there. You need to get out of here now. Necessitate. You know, so I'm just going to pick up a few things. You just overrode the Holy Spirit. Right? And then you put yourself in danger. Amen. I know preachers, even ministers of the gospel, have overrode it, saying, I'm just going to confess Psalms 91 over it. Ain't nothing going to happen to me. But the Holy Spirit was guiding them into the thing, you don't need to fly right now. There's something missing. Keith Moore one time was on the plane, and he said the nose pin was out, but that which is the guidance, governs the guidance system on the plane. But he said pilot said, yeah, we're good to go. Checked off. But he sat back in the seat and said, uh-uh. No, we're not good to go. Something's not here. He said, can we check the checklist again? On his own plane now. Because he trusts his pilot, but he trusts more the Holy Spirit. So he listened to his spirit, and he said, can you check the nose pin? Because the Holy Spirit told him, nose pin's out. Now, with the nose pin out on that kind of plane, he couldn't land it. The only way you land is run out of gas and crash. Or do an emergency landing. You can't steer a plane when the guidance system's off. You can't steer your life in the direction and will of God when your guidance system is off. Some people just trust apps. You know, I'm hearing it at work, the other work. This is work, too, but the other work. They say, yeah, use this gas app. So they're trying to get the cheapest gas. So people think cheap or low price is a leading. He didn't say those that be led by low price are the sons of God. He said those that be led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Amen. You see people in a restaurant. Now sometimes I have the privilege of being with people in the restaurant. And they ordering off the cheap menu and the dollar menu and because they're price conscious. They're not Holy Spirit conscious. So people driving around to different gas stations because they got this app saying, oh, this is cheapest gas. What are they being led by? Led by an app. Not led by the Spirit. Because you go to a certain gas station at a certain time, because some people are superstitious about putting gas in the day. They want to put it in at night. You know, all kinds of crazy stuff. Because they're trying to navigate their own life. And so these gas stations have robberies and guns and stuff like that, and you're running around. I'm just going for the cheap gas. That cheap gas could be tainted, could mess up your car. They could have a robbery stick up, but you went there outside of the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Y'all getting what I'm talking about today? Somebody say, praise the Lord. We need to get back to asking the Holy Spirit, including the Holy Spirit, in every major and minor decision and direction of your life. I purpose with the Holy Spirit myself to ask people. When people ask me a question, I'll turn back and say, what did the Holy Spirit say to you? Because you need to learn to listen to the Holy Spirit, the guide on the inside. You need to listen to the guide on the inside. And then you need to learn how to listen with clarity and clearly hear his voice. So you know that even in the grocery store, busy, loud grocery store, H-E-B, Target, Walmart, wherever you're at, Stouts, whatever market you're at, you hear the Holy Spirit say, no, don't buy that meat. It's going to make you sick. Don't buy that chicken. Contaminated. It's going to mess up your body. You're going to be swole up and hurting and rubbing your body at night. Oh, praise God. Y'all don't think he's interested because I learned this how I practice. I practice at home. Okay, Holy Spirit, what do I wear? I'm sitting in the bathroom or I'm in the shower. Holy Spirit, you tell me what to wear. You let him help you with the little things, and he'll guide you with the big things. Amen. Somebody say, glory to God. Somebody say, hallelujah. Come on, stand to your feet. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Romans 8:14 in the Passion says this, the mature children of God are those who are moved and by the impulses of the Holy Spirit. God will guide us. He will enlighten us. He'll tell you what to do. He'll show you things to come. You don't have to go to a soothsayer. You don't have to call a prophet, because I know the prophets are rising up saying, you send me an offering, I'll give you a prophecy. You're not supposed to be living by prophecy. You know, sometimes because I appreciate the prophetic and the prophet's ministry, but sometimes there's so much excess out there. And people are trying to go back to being guided by somebody's prophecy that you don't know. And they speak about countries and leadership and people from other countries speaking about this. It's all hit and miss. But the Holy Spirit is always on. He always hits. Especially when it comes to you personally. Amen. Yes, I heard that, Holy Spirit. I heard that. Some of you listening to your kids too much. You need to correct that. You're letting your kids guide you. They've taken the place